listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
The Pharmacy Podcast Network is proud to bring you up-to-date trends and innovative information from our host, trusted sources, and monthly guests, led by Dr. Gail Lebovic. We're covering important topics and bringing health and wellness to your community by bridging the gap between pharmacies, physicians, and patients. This monthly podcast is sponsored by Silicon Valley Innovations, makers of NasoCleanse.
Hey, welcome back. I'm telling you what, we have been waiting to bring Gail Lebovic back from NasoCleanse since the last episode that we did with an alma mater in pharmacy school that I'm very proud of because I'm from Pittsburgh. So shout out to Dr. Lucas for his episode. Gail, welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast Network and NasoCleanse directives and ideas and things that you share in nasal cleansing and everything that you're standing for. So thank you for being here.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me again. And I'm super excited about today because we're bringing a special guest, Daniel Adams, who's way down under. He's down in Devonport, New Zealand. So very excited to share some new information with your audience.
Well, thank you and welcome, Daniel. I'm so excited to welcome you. And like I said, we are expanding internationally. So this is very special that you're part of this.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Hey, by the way, do you know a Robert Starr, who is a technologist in Australia? He's a pharmacist and pharmacy owner. I'm going to introduce the two of you because that's the special insights of a podcast, is being able to connect people. So shout out to Robert Starr, by the way. Check out NasoCleanse for sure in today's episode. So I do want to start off, you know, pharmacists, you have been the front lines through the pandemic and really controlling disease and controlling immunizations and controlling testing. And part of that is we're always touching our face. I touch my face constantly. And there was an article that came out that talked about nose picking and also the connection based on back to Alzheimer's disease. And so in this episode, we're going to dive into this overlook of that realm of nasal health care. And health care, right? That's sometimes really overlooked. And I kind of want to kick it off to you, Gail, because you and I and our team back at NasoCleanse, Joy, a shout out to you, Joy, brought up this article, which was really interesting. So kind of set the stage for us in this study and experiment and the pathogens and kind of everything that's connected into it for our pharmacist listeners to kind of unpack before we get in with Daniel.
Sure. Thanks, Todd. It's super interesting for me to kind of reflect back on, you know, how did a breast surgeon get involved in nasal healthcare? And I get asked that question a lot. And part of it was recognizing and understanding through surgery how dirty the nose really is. And it's true. We touch our faces about 7 times an hour, our nose in particular, and we transfer germs from our hand to our nose and vice versa. So after you've had surgery, if you're constantly rubbing your nose and then you touch the area of the incision, you can get an infection, which is really bad after surgery. So, you know, all of that really intrigued me and kind of started me on this path of, can we do better? Should we be cleaning our noses like brushing our teeth? Because we all know oral healthcare changed our lives completely, increased our lifespan, and did a whole lot of other good things. So that's kind of how I started on this journey. And I've met a lot of incredible people in all different areas of medicine. And in particular, I've met a lot of independent pharmacies because we took our product first to the independent pharmacies and to get their feedback, their interaction with their customers. And during that experience in a sleepy little town in New Zealand called Devonport, I met Daniel. And Daniel has a very innovative, progressive type pharmacy where he's doing a lot of things new and a lot of things that I'm sure, really helped the community through the pandemic. And I think he's got kind of the perfect example of a pharmacy that's busy, that is steeped in community, and that is bringing new products to market. So I'm super excited that he's here with us today.
Daniel, our listeners are going to want to know a little bit about you. So please share with us the community pharmacy that you're running, the multiple pharmacies, and if there's a differentiator between one to the next, compounding versus community straight versus like a specialty. But give us a background of your operations.
Okay. Well, I started off in a small little pharmacy in a hospital, which is probably the size of a bedroom. And it was an after hours attached to an A&E. And from there, I sort of purchased another one, which was community-based. And then we sort of were talking with the doctors, and we were designing a new medical center to make things easier for the patients and everything accessible with like labs, med labs and diagnostic and dentist, and put all under one roof. And from there, I sort of just accumulated a number of pharmacies and went into medical practices as well. And wasn't my intention, but accumulate quite a few of them. And but the common theme amongst all of them, and they're predominantly all over Auckland, and the main thing was they're all pretty much attached to medical practices, and we had a close relationship with the doctors and nurses, and it works really well. And then from there was a big variety. Auckland's quite a spread out city, and you've got a big diversity of people, and it's also one of the largest, I think it is the largest Polynesian city in the world. And so you've got all this different ethnic groups, you've got wealthy areas, poor areas, and pretty much all of the pharmacies that were involved are scattered across right across that to rural farmlands as well. And the common theme was based around the community in each area. And like Gail was saying, Devonport in this one area, it's got a lot of older population, and we've dived into there and sort of just spending time. I think it's pretty much like the pharmacies that you'd find in America. The small independent ones are surviving by that interaction with patients and going the extra mile. And that's how you sort of like you survive. It's a new thing having the big store pharmacies come into New Zealand. Like you've got Walmart and other ones, I imagine, as well. But we've got some big Australian companies that have come in now, and they're offering discounts and closing down lots of pharmacies. But the ones that are attached to medical practices and do the extra thing and do what they enjoy, liaising with patients, and, they seem to work, and they seem to do really well, and it's far more enjoyable. I mean, I find it. And we, in each area, we find what's missing. Like in Devonport, we've sort of attached ourselves to some retirement villages and do the delivery. At the moment, we're doing vaccinations. We're going to schools and doing with the vaccinating the teachers with COVID and flu vax, and you'd look at it and think it's a very poor business model, because by the time you send two pharmacists out and you've got to have one covering, but it's getting us out into the community, and that's what we enjoy, and it works out. And it's amazing, just Auckland is, sort of like in South Auckland, which is perhaps not a very wealthy area, and people's diets are poor and fast foods are more predominant, that, there's a host of illnesses, where you don't necessarily find them in, like, the wealthier or the more sort of areas in the city, like Devonport or Remuera. And so you work on different scenarios here. No, it's very enjoyable. It's, it always makes you think.
Yeah. Daniel, Gail and I have talked before about why she likes independent community pharmacies, and that is from her mouth and from her ideas and her development of where this has all gone, and especially now nasal cleanse and cleaning the nasal passages. And we'll talk about some other things, including taking medications through your nostrils or even an inhaler or something to get more of that substance because you're clean. But what she enjoys, and the reason why I'm glad that you're here, is we don't have to filter our message through a big, huge, you know, bureaucracy or organization that is concerned about public relations or concerned about, you know, their stock price or something like that. And so it goes from what Gail talks about and how important different things are that we're overlooking, to who's talking to our patients the most. In the United States, pharmacists, community pharmacists, are talking to their patients 9 times of what they're talking to their physician. So I get 9 times more connection with my patients as a pharmacist than I do with our physicians. And you're in the same boat as a community pharmacy. So Gail, the importance of communicating, educating, and becoming an information resource to our independent community pharmacies is so vital. So I kind of want to dive into this whole topic today around cleaning the nose. And then, like I said, if you have patients that are on substances that need that medication, needs to get absorbed through the nasal, what do they call it, nasal membrane and in the you know, vein in your nasal, and but that absorption, that is vital to make sure that before you do that, that things have been cleaned up and cleaned up.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. You know, it's a little bit ironic that our noses are right smack dab in the middle of our faces. And to me, it's, as an anatomist, it's just been overlooked and ignored. And yes, we've scratched the surface of delivering drugs and things through the nose, like with nasal sprays, steroids, things like that. But those are, honestly, they're like a Band-Aid for what's actually going on up here. The nose has the front of the nose, which is where nasal cleanse and other, you know, where we're targeting actually cleaning the skin and the hair inside the nose, because that's where things get caught. The nose acts as a filter and they get caught there. Ultimately, they will wind up in the sinuses, which is deeper. And then you start to get overproduction of mucus, trying to get the allergens or germs and viruses out of our body. But the nose is overloaded these days, you know, with air pollution, toxins, allergens, as I mentioned, and germ. So we just need to give it some help. You know, we're not the cure-all or anything like that. But we did design something that would be comfortable and convenient for people to use. And the gel is specifically designed for the nose. It's an antiseptic. Now, let's go back to what we talked about earlier, which is the touching of the nose and nose picking.
Exactly. Guilty.
Before nasal cleanse, I would say that, you know, most people think that they're cleaning their nose either by blowing it or by picking it. And picking it, we're going to just take that off the list, right? Because picking your nose does bad stuff. It introduces bacteria. Most people pick their nose because they're trying to get crust out of the nose, something in there that's crusty. And that attaches to the hair, which when you pick it, can create a hole, you know, or a crevice, like a crack inside your nose, which then makes you more susceptible to germs. So it's a bad habit. Let's just all agree it's a bad habit and it's gross. So we're not going to pick our noses anymore. We're going to do something more sophisticated. And, you know, certainly when you travel, like when I travel, I clean my nose every day. It's now a habit. It's easy. It's quick. And it feels good, just like brushing my teeth. And New Zealand is kind of a target audience, a perfect audience for people to be cleaning their nose. There's a lot of allergies, a lot of sinus issues. And Daniel, you can speak to this. Certainly, if you're going to be taking intranasal medications, like Todd mentioned, you want to clean the nose first. But I really believe from our experience, we know people who are routinely cleaning their nose now, we have a large enough experience to understand these people have less problems with congestion. They have less issues with allergies, and it's just a very effective way to relieve symptoms in the nose. Daniel and I met. I did introduce Nasal Cleanse to Daniel, and Daniel, I'll let you speak to your reaction, because we haven't really talked about that, but I know what has come since.
No, I mean, I'm guilty of not actually thinking too much about the nose too much, apart from putting decongestants up there and sterile nasal sprays, and yet it's right in your face and you don't give it much thought. And then, you know, the simplicity of what you were saying and what you've invented is it's great. It makes so much sense. And the more I've read about it, it's fascinating. And so much of like all seasons, really. I can mean cold and flu, the hay fever seasons, you know, allergy, and which is, you know, like with the warm weather, I mean, imagine it. Well, it's talked about right throughout the world that the world's getting warmer. In New Zealand, spring is sort of spreading out into a couple of months beforehand, even sort of creeping into August now, September. So it's, you know, there's more pollen on the trees. So more people are getting sort of reactions, and it's such a simple sort of idea, but great. I'm really excited to actually go out and sort of spread the word, and that's I'm looking for. I've spoken to staff what we're going to be doing and everything like that, and it's interesting to see, because it's a with COVID, I think people become more aware of the nose. I mean, you've seen like a large amount of the Asian population have always worn masks and you sort of look at it and think, well, that's a bit odd. But it was very good prior to COVID, because, you know, it retained any if they had colds or flus and all that, and it was a very courteous thing to do. It looked a bit odd at first, but it made sense now. And the nose, it's just seems so much sense to be able to give it a clean and beforehand and in the morning and night. And so when we've gone and I've talked to staff about it, it's interesting, like for older staff to younger staff, and seeing their reaction, and some have thought about putting something up their nose again as sort of, oh, I don't think that will work. And others have been really receptive. I mean, we've sat outside a pub having a beer, and I've handed them all this little magic wand, and I said, have a go at this. So walkers by have seen us, you know, my pharmacist sitting outside under an umbrella with little things up our nose. And and from that trial, it was all accepted. I don't know if it was the beer or, but it was interesting. And I think that's the right time, because people are aware of the nose more and the cleanliness. You know.
You've got to get some. That sounds fun. You know, the interesting thing about it is the deeper we get into this, the more I realize, number one, the nose is definitely the tip of the iceberg. You know, it's the pathway to the respiratory system and our lungs. And if we keep that gateway clean, I think we're going to see some really cool effects downstream. You know, I think people will benefit a lot from that. But the other thing that I've learned is the business surrounding respiratory healthcare. And nowadays, self-care in the respiratory area, I think it's really wide open. From what I understand, there's about 155 million people in the United States every year who seek out nasal relief products. That is a massive number. I mean, it's just huge. And the industry itself, and you know, the nasal respiratory healthcare industry is about $71 billion a year and growing at almost 5% per year. So I see a real opportunity for not only our products, but also for products that we have that planned for the future that really focus more on drug delivery, a nice, comfortable, simple way of drug delivery. And I think research is also showing us that the nose has a very vital role in disease such as Alzheimer's. I know, Todd, you touched on that briefly, but there was a study out of Australia that showed 99% of all Alzheimer's patients cultured out of their nose a specific and very rare bacteria. And this bacteria is thought to produce the plaques that we see on MRI in the brain, because there's an intimate relationship between the ethmoid sinus, which is way up here at the top of the nose, the very top on the inside, and it abuts up against the base of the brain. So things that you inhale, and we know this from obviously recreational drug use, can not only go directly to the brain, but there's a very robust blood supply in the nasal cavity and the sinus cavities. And like we've said earlier, it's just been overlooked, underutilized, and we're going to leverage those things in a good way and a positive way. So that's kind of what we're hoping to do.
So the simplicity of the administration and application, I think, is important to note. And that's from my own experience. So being able to leverage the applicator with the substance that you've come up with, it's non-irritant. It actually makes my nasal passage feel cool, kind of like more relaxed. This is something that I experienced, Gail, with you right on the trade show floor when we did the original podcast kickoff. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll see the video that shows the application and the usage of NasoCleanse, which once again is extremely simple. That in of itself is very important to the consumer. And this is a earning opportunity. This is a revenue generating opportunity, back to what Gail was saying about being a coach for respiratory health, regardless if someone's asthmatic or if they're taking a specific medication that you really want to be even more keen on. But we're talking about sports, athletics, and we're talking about that time of year where more of the conditions around vaccinations are coming up, or back to school, like you were saying, Daniel. Daniel, as a community pharmacy owner, someone, talk about the opportunity to earn and become, hey, here's a kit for you, and this kind of extends to possibly other things that are tied back to respiratory and nasal health. Talk to us about your relationship with your patients and the opportunity to show them NasoCleanse.
Yeah, I think that the important thing about it is, as a pharmacy, you can have your stock all displayed nicely, all that, but it's only a small percentage of it that actually gets sold. So for instance, in the pharmacies we've got, which are predominantly, as I say, medical center ones, 80% are prescriptions and 20% are retail. So it's important where you put your retail products, and it's sort of like prime real estate is along your counter. And I think it's important, something like this gives us another tool to interact with the customers, because you can talk to them about, like, for instance, how simple it is, the nose clean, and if you can educate them into doing it regularly, get into the routine of doing it when they brush their teeth. And but it's finding out, like, for instance, people may be coming in for, if your nose is all stuffed up and you've got problems with it, it can lead to so many things, like you're not sleeping properly, and that can lead to other problems. And so if you can talk to somebody and give them that direction and say, like, you know, if you can moisten your nostrils before you go to the bed, and that they can try that, and they might get a better night's sleep, and that opens up a whole new sort of a better health. And to me, it's an important thing that everyone, all the staff, are educated to be able to explain it properly. Otherwise, it'll just sit on the counter there and it probably won't move without people knowing it. And I think so, various stages. So introducing it to New Zealand, my way of thinking with first was to be able to communicate it to patients, to teach them how to use it, and then spread it out, get into these small pharmacies, independent pharmacies, and then have it to round your counter, And I think you can see people coming up and buying allergy sprays, anything like that, you could sell it first, because before you start shooting up lots of saline into your nostrils, which is good, that's clean it first so you're not shooting up all the gunk up into your sinus areas and that. Same with Otrivine. I mean, I don't know if you xylometazolone. Otrivine, do you have that as a...
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, so like, for instance, with people, that's probably one of the top sellers in New Zealand across the counter. So people coming in and getting that, it's prescribed. People coming into that, then you can go in and talk about this product. So in New Zealand, you so in the lower socioeconomic areas, people predominantly are not buying preventative medicines. They're getting medicines on their prescription because they're subsidised. And if the medicine isn't subsidised, they will purchase it because their doctor has recommended it as well. And so we'd be talking to the doctors as well, saying, like, for instance, here's another product that you could write down on your prescription. And then patients sometimes are a bit more sort of entitled, they will buy it, you know, as well as, so that's another way of doing it as well. We've got some tools here which are through texting and internet and everything now that we're going to push out towards the community and say there's a new product here and sort of start educating them about it as well. So when they come into the pharmacy, they can start looking for it. But I think it's the thing, is virtually you can attach it to so many medications, you know, it's right through the cold and flu season, the hay fever season. And then you've got, you know, people traveling. That's another one. That's a big one. I was thinking about the other day, we have a big train system in New Zealand, but gosh, I mean, in the States and, you know, and like in London, you know, when you've got tubes and all that and you come out and you can feel the gunk in your nostrils. I mean, that's a huge market. But I think the first thing is educating people, getting them to that sort of the feeling of brushing your teeth, cleaning your nose. Yeah. We had a advertisement of Slip Slop Slap, which was quite good. It's, I mean, when I was a kid, I think I remember it was just, you know, using a sunblock of some, and it's sort of stuck in your mind. If you can get something like that going, like brushing your teeth, and might stick with people for right there the whole life.
We haven't used it yet, but we do. You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but what about your nose? Nasal cleanse will scrub the dirt and out the nose it goes.
I like that. All right.
You won't forget that very soon.
And I'll get the staff to see me.
I might have to get that on an IG, on an Instagram post or something for sure. This is great. Yeah, I want our community pharmacists to think about this and building campaigns around it, because Daniel, you're absolutely right. If you're not talking to your patients, your people that are coming into your pharmacy about products that stand out like this, once you do talk to them about it, it's going to make sense. And the lights are going to start going off in their own heads, and they're going to start attributing things that they're experiencing versus allergies, versus colds, flu season, whatever it is. And they're going to be like, wait, I just heard Daniel talk to me about keeping my nasal passage clean. And also the education around our children. I have four daughters. So if I went back in time and really started teaching my kids about, hey, don't pick your nose, let's blow your nose, let's get some saline in there, let's take this little applicator and be very gentle, go up in there and kind of move it around, get things moving, and then maybe blow your nose again. It would educate hygiene as hand washing, as brushing your teeth. It just becomes part of our natural life. And I think that this in and of itself is a business opportunity for our community pharmacist, once again, to be the conduit of good information around public health and what is healthy. And number two, the business opportunity to say, hey, here is a product that is very unusual. It's very unique. And it's doing a good job to set us up for better respiratory health.
Just circling back on one thing so we can kind of bring it full circle is travel. Daniel, I know you mentioned travel. Also sports. Daniel, you were a rugby player, weren't you? Isn't that true?
Yep.
Yeah. Love to hear your thoughts about that. But in regards to travel, you know, we to get to New Zealand, we sit on an airplane for at least 12 hours. It's dry. The humidity is less than 1%. Obviously, we're a captive audience with a lot of other people sneezing and hacking on the airplane. And so I always use nasal cleanse before I get on the plane, during the flight, after the flight. Same thing if I go to a restaurant or a crowded, you know, place. I just clean my nose. It's just a habit now. And cruise ships, we watch the cruise ships come in and out of New Zealand. They're a floating petri dish. So I think travel is another area. Lots of pharmacies provide medications and vaccines, et cetera, for people going overseas. And I think travel is another area, as well as sports that we mentioned, where it can be a useful product. Want to tell us about your rugby days? What do you think? Did you ever break your nose?
No, I didn't actually break my nose. When it's, no, I was quite fast, so I could run away from everybody. That was there. And when I started to slow down, I gave up. I actually played in England for a while, and just at a little social place down in East Sussex. But interestingly, our managers were a chap called Spike Milligan, who was a goon. I don't know if you know Spike Milligan, and Paul McCartney. Yeah, he was the manager of the rugby team that we had. So it was the real Paul McCartney. He was in a little English village. So that's the fascinating thing about England, is you go to these little villages and you have all these people who you hear about, and they live in there, and they come out of their homes and.
Pretty
like
descendants of
nasal plants. What's that? Yeah. So no, it was. Yeah, my son wants to play it now, but I don't think it's a bit too rough now.
Yeah.
Well, this is once again part of our dedication to the success of pharmacists and knowledge is getting you to understand that there's opportunities to talk with your patients in your hospital systems. Gail, I want to have you back. I want to dig into long-term care. Long-term care is exploding. In the United States, Daniel, 11,000 new baby boomers are being born. I want to say it's every day for the rest of the year, or is it every month for the rest of the year? Anyway, it's a ton of new 65-year-olds who are going to be born in 2024 just in the United States. And we're setting them up. These people are living longer. They're living healthier lives. And part of that is going to be respiratory health and keeping our nasal passages clean. Gail, in wrapping up with Daniel, what else did you kind of want to share with our pharmacists that are listening in with today's information episode?
I think one of the things that really clicked with me and Daniel was his entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that has made him really successful as an independent pharmacy owner and multiple independent pharmacy owners. You know, I'd love to hear, Daniel, what it is that kind of, you know, sparked in your mind about, I'm sure you see new products all the time, but I saw your enthusiasm really early. So I'd love to know from you how you landed on nasal cleanse and wanting to bring it into New Zealand, because he's our official distributor for all of New Zealand.
Wow.
And you just immediately jumped on it as a business opportunity. So I'd love to hear your thoughts around that.
I think it was a combination of your enthusiasm for it and the simplicity of it. It was just it made sense. And I think that was, and you could see it as an add-on to so many products that you would sell in a pharmacy, from prescriptions to over-the-counter medicines. And yeah, it was, and it's unique in the sense with your magic wand that you've got as opposed to a spray. And I just thought it slotted in very easily to a pharmacy environment. And other environments, actually, and I mean that's the environment I know. But you know, like for instance, hospitals and medical practices. It just it, it's it could be everywhere. I mean, and it would be simple to explain to people and how it works. And I think it's the right time. You know, I think it's the right time. People are aware of nose and hygiene a bit more now. And yeah.
Absolutely. I'm excited about where this can go. I think there's creativity in our community pharmacy owners. Daniel, I'm sure that you have things that you do special for your clients and your customers as they enter. And that's the specialness of what you deliver as a pharmacy owner in comparison to some of the big box or chains. And there's advantages to that. So this is one more way that we want pharmacists to stand out in your community. And what you're talking about as a supplement to healthcare and a supplement to people that are asthmatic or taking medications or doing anything that has anything to do with the nose. And we all have a nose on our face. So, you know, anybody with a nose is candidate for this product. I think that's a pretty good, the statistics, the macroeconomics of that is actually is pretty good.
The math is good.
Math is good. Nasocleanse.com, by the way, if you're looking this up, it's NASOCLENZ, nasocleanse with a Z.com. I am excited about having you part of this, Daniel. You're now in the inner circle of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We're going to have to follow up with you and talk about some other things. We have initiatives in New Zealand with regards to digital health specifically. We'd love to bring you back and talk about with Dr. Azur from New Zealand, you know, Katrina Azur and her leadership in New Zealand. So we're going to have you back and talk about other things in community pharmacy.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for this and delivering an amazing episode with Daniel, bringing us such an interesting guest. You never fail to keep us interested and wanting more information from you. So thank you.
Thank you, Todd, for having us. And thanks, Daniel, for joining us.
Thank you.
For more information, once again, go to nasocleanse.com and we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for all you do, pharmacists.